They had not had children up to then. And usually by the time a man is 75 years old, he's got 10 or 12, you know, notched on his belt. So there were three things against him here, and yet he, well, let's read this verse here in Genesis 12.
By the way, they didn't have a Hilton Inn or, you know, a Marriott or
a
McDonald's for the kids, you know. You had to just get up and go.
Genesis 12, 1 through 3.
Okay, beginning in Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall you be blessed.
Yes. Now what I wanted to point out here, Darren, was when God called him, the actual literal Hebrew he is yourself. You alone. This does not include your father. This does not include your family, although he took Lot because Lot's father had died. And Lot was under his care, really, his guardianship. So when God gave him this promise, he said, go yourself to your country. And we're going to talk about why Abram was a friend of God. And number one, because he was obedient. He trusted God, left his family and home, and the calling from God was for him alone, and he was obedient. He left all the familiar things. And Darren, faith requires obedience. Even in Mark 10:29, we see that when a man leaves his home and his farms and his mother and his father and his children, that God is going to get recompense back to him those things and eternal life. That's important to know that. We must be willing to be obedient to God above everything else.
Well, you know, I think sometimes we take the character in a story and we primarily focus on them. And we said, well, they need to go, is an example I gave a while ago, down the road or someplace else, because God's blessing and plan for them is down there, wherever there is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, many times the people that are left behind need to learn to depend on the Lord themselves.
That's right.
And I see that sometimes parents hover over children, and they're really handicapping their children by not setting it up so that they have to learn to grow in their own faith in the Lord. And I'm talking here primarily about Christian parents that do that. Of course, parents of the world do some of the same things. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, the bottom line here is obedience.
Yes, it is.
And then when we see that Abram settled in Canaan, he honored God by building altars, worshiping God, and calling on his name.
Yes.
He was an altar builder.
That's right. Abraham was a friend of God because first he was obedient. Second, he worshiped God. He built altars and worshiped him. The first one was near Shechem. The second altar he built near Bethel, which later on we see as house of prayer, rather than an Ai, which literally means worldliness. So Abram wanted to do God's perfect will, and he also honored him and worshiped him.
Well, he was also a generous man of integrity and peace. And when there was strife between the herdsmen of his livestock and Lot's, Abraham gave preference to Lot in choosing pasture land. And, you know, I think he set it up in a great way. He said, well, I'm going to give you the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Lot chose the very best of the land, the rich pastures, and there was a lot of water there, which you have to have if you're going to have rich pastures.
Yes, but we find out it wasn't the very best.
Wasn't the best.
You know, Darren, sometimes on the outside in this world, something looks so good. I mean, it looks so luscious, and we just have to have it. And then when we get it, it doesn't have the thrill that we thought it would have. And this probably happened a lot after he moved there to Sodom and Gomorrah, where it describes it as a rich, rich land, valleys of green grass for the herds. And, you know, we also read then later where Abram, he rescued Lot after four kings came and absolutely the marauders came and took everything from Sodom, including Lot and all of his possessions
captives. The interesting thing is they not only took their possessions, they took their food.
Yes.
I mean, they stripped him.
Yes, they really did.
That way.
And Abram, who was, he stood up for right and justice. He was a man of peace. And yet when it came to his family, he got 318 of his servants together, and he went after those kings and Lot, his nephew.
You know, of course, the famous story in the Old Testament of Sodom and Gomorrah and the great sin that was there and all the homosexuality and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is, and I don't see this just detailed enough for me to understand it in Scripture, why didn't Lot build his own place out in the country? Why was he found in the city in the town. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we need to stay away from those areas of great sin. I mean, if that's a temptation, you have a weakness, for example, to gamble or whatever, you probably shouldn't go and live in the middle of Las Vegas or Reno or one of those areas.
Well, more than that, too, Darren, he had two daughters. And if I'm raising children, I want to raise them in a community that is conducive to a good education, moral standards for my children to be raised in. It seems like he really didn't care that they were might be married to some awful worldly men. It just didn't matter. It seemed not to matter to him. Maybe he didn't have... you can see that he didn't have the wisdom that Abram did, his uncle. I don't know what the problem was there.
Well, you know, I said to a friend of ours, and, you know, I really grieved for him, but I said we were advising him to send his daughter to a Christian college. Well, he chose not to do that.
Yes.
And he frequented places where there were some rather low-life characters. Well, guess who she ran off with? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, and I called him by name. I said, you know, you need to go where the fish are, the kind of fish you want. In other words,
for
the kind of
daughter.
Husband that you
yes.
might want your daughter to marry.
Yes.
And, well, he didn't do that, and they wanted to hold on to her, and they ended up losing her. And I think that is so keen in the stories here. When God says go, pick up and go, he has a reason for telling you to go, because it's going to influence not only you and your wife, but your kids and later on your grandchildren. But you need to be obedient to God, because let me tell you, folks, his blessing, for example, here in Colorado, if it's not in Denver, maybe it's in Grand Junction over on the west part of the state. Or maybe it's not in Colorado at all. Maybe he wants you in Dallas, Texas. Oh, Lord, don't ever send me to Dallas. It's too hot there and humid. I don't like that. But you hear what I'm saying? But I'll tell you this. If I knew that God wanted me in Dallas, Texas, as they say in Texas, I'd be fixing to go down there. I'd move down there. And I'd make it work. God would make it work. But you know, we see people with so much fear. Oh, this is such familiar surroundings here. I just want to stay here.
And
I've got all my hangouts and my haunts. I want to stay here.
Well, that's probably what Lot was all about then. Yeah. So we found out, number three, that Abram was a friend of God because he was a generous man, full of integrity and peace. Now, number four reason that Abram was a friend of God, Darren, was that he honored God with one-tenth of all he had before the tithe even became a law. And so many people say, well, that was under the law. But we understand here that the tithe was before the law. And Abraham was such a generous man, honoring God in everything, that when he came back after getting Lot and all the possessions, and actually took all the possessions from the four kings that had raided Sodom, he took back all the possessions. He gave one-tenth of all that he gathered. And God honors those who give first fruits to him. He truly does. And that applies to us today. God honors the generous man, the one who honors him with one-tenth of all he has.
You know, you skipped over one very important point there.
Oh, okay.
And that's this, that God was introducing, or Scripture was introducing, the tithe here way before the law, way before the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses much later on.
Yes.
So that's we might say, a time-honored tradition. It's not only a tradition, it's a very godly thing to do, to honor the Lord God. And later on, as he begins to teach us, the first tenth was wholly under the Lord.
Yes, and then his grandson, Jacob, when he ran away after he took the birthright by supplanting Esau, he also gave one-tenth. He said, Father, right. If you will bless me, I will give you one-tenth. So this followed through in the generations here.
And you know, the third one down there, Jacob, you're talking about 1 year. He was abundantly blessed.
Oh, that's right. And we must say here, Abram was abundantly blessed. He was a very wealthy man.
Now, if we went down and we talked about Moses, when Moses and God were going around and around, and this was near the time of the golden calf incident, Moses was interceding, and he interceded based on what God had spoken here in this chapter, or these chapters here in Genesis. He said, God, remember what you said to Father Abraham,
yes. And
remember your character.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that has hit me with such force that as we intercede with God, we need to remind him of his, now, Lord God, you're faithful, and you have loving kindness, and you have all of these extraordinary things for us. So we cry out for your mercy and your abundant blessings, and remember who you are and what you said you were going to do.
Yes.
Now, that's pleading the covenant. The other day, I found myself praying, Father God of the covenant,